All right. Well, hello, everyone. Everybody said hello. Let somebody know today, God loves you and God wants to bless you. Come on. Let somebody else know, the one you didn't tell, that we won't tell them, you thought less of them, that God loves you and God wants to bless you. Come on, you even rejected him on the second go-round. God loves you and God wants to bless you. Wherever you are right now, I want you to know God loves you and God wants to bless you. And that's where we're going to kind of think and have the right frame of reference as we continue our series today, How to Thrive in Christ, in the book of 1 Corinthians. And so wherever you are today, that's kind of where we've been hanging out over these past few weeks. And just to kind of catch you up, where Paul is here in 1 Corinthians is he is reminding the Corinthian church how to thrive in Christ. He is teaching them how to thrive in Christ. Long story short, they live in a culture similar to ours. And in that culture, they lived by, you live by your truth, and I'll live by mine. Now, the problem becomes for the Corinthian church is they are Christians. They no longer live in the truth of the world, but the truth of Christ. And so this is what Paul just continues to hammer the point home, that wherever you are right now, you got to make a choice. Are you going to stay in the truth of the world or the truth of Christ? And he goes and he is talking about every different season you may have in life. So wherever you are on the spectrum of following Jesus today, there's going to be something for you. Teachers get this. Parents, you get this. There's two kind of things. Parents, this is the question you ask. Did you clean your room? Do you always accept the first answer or no? Do you pull the Ronald Reagan trust but verify or not? Like, is that what you... You don't. So, teachers, like this. When the... this is going to sound horrible, but it's true. When the student continues to say they studied for the test, they continually fail. As a teacher or a parent, most of the time, you try to take the obligation and say, okay, did I teach them something wrong? Did I do something wrong? But let's just think kind of simply here. Occam's razor is sometimes it's the simplest solution, right? They probably didn't study for the test, right? That's probably what happened. So this is kind of the perspective I want to give when we talk about this today, and kind of what Paul is talking about to the Corinthians is, realistically, when you ask your child if they've cleaned their room and they say no, what happens is their behavior isn't matching their belief. And what do I mean by that? A child believes they can get away with it. If I lie to mom and dad, they're going to love me anyway, so it's not going to matter whether my room's clean or not, right? When it comes to the teacher, I just give puppy eyes to them, like, you know, and it's going to be fine, and I'm going to give every excuse in the world, even though I didn't take responsibility for it. So what happens is what they believe doesn't quite match their behavior, and that's what's wrong with the Corinthians at this moment in time. Because what we're going to dive into today is Paul is saying there's a purpose behind what we do. There's a reason maybe why your belief isn't matching your behavior. And we're going to talk through the quality of each person's work. Now, I know that sounds kind of difficult or a little weird to talk about works in church. And we'll talk about this because I thought we were saved by grace, and we are. But there's a purpose that comes with that. And this is what the Corinthians are missing. He's going to build on what he's already talked about to the Corinthian church. And the issue they're having is they're not quite growing in the Lord. And the reason they're not is their belief in who God is isn't lived out in their behavior. Okay, so if you've got your Bible today, let's go ahead and get to 1 Corinthians. We're going to be in chapter 3 today. We may or may not finish some of chapter 3, but a lot of chapter 3 is a rehash. Paul is just kind of getting frustrated. We're going to see from the beginning. He's getting frustrated with the church. He's like, I keep talking to you about the same thing. You didn't read chapter 1 and 2. In other words, he's saying, I keep talking to you in this letter about the same thing. And he's going to show us here in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. So if you've got your Bible, go ahead and get there. If not, as always, got them free for the asking over in the garden. You grab that Bible. It's yours to keep. We would love to get. Matter of fact, we give them away for free. So we would love to give you a Bible for free. You take that. You bring it back here with you next week. You can always follow along with us on the Vine Church app, wherever you're watching around the world throughout the week. And last but not least, as always, wherever you're watching right now, you're going to see the scripture on screen for our Vine production team. They make sure they take care of that for us every week. So as we start every week, if you're in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, say amen. Amen in the house of the Lord by God's people. So, Lord, show us what you would have for us today. It says this, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. Brothers and sisters, I could not address you as people who live by the same Spirit or who live by the Spirit, but as people who are still worldly, mere infants in Christ. I gave you milk, not solid food, for you are not yet ready for it. Indeed, you are still not ready. Paul is saying this right now. I'm just going to be honest with you. This is his nice way of saying it. I'm frustrated. He's saying, church, I'm frustrated. Last week we talked about the mind of Christ. You can't comprehend the deeper things of Christ because you're not willing to grow and mature in Christ. I keep giving you milk and you just keep taking it. When we think about that and think about what's happening, is he's saying the reason we're going to see, and he kind of dives in more, is they keep having division over who to follow. Do you follow Paul? Do you follow Peter? Do you follow Apollos? And he's saying, that's why you're missing it. You have to follow Christ and him first, because there's purpose for this eternally. And they keep rehashing it. And maybe that's where you are right now. Maybe you believe in Jesus, you know him as your Lord and Savior, and you know that your eternity is secure, but for some reason, it's not being lived out in your behavior. You're not living out love God, love others. Not seen in your life, and you can't figure out why. Perhaps it's because you're spiritually immature. What do I mean by this, and what does Paul mean by this? Well, let's think about it. A baby is a blessing, right? I can say that because I don't have any. But a baby is a blessing. They don't keep. They really don't. We had our small Pentecostal corner over there, as I like to call it today, filled by the Spirit during worship. Don't worry, I got a few in there too. I was kind of filled. I didn't have my ribbons or my flags, but we'll figure that out one day. I'm just saying. It is what it is. If one did it right now, it wouldn't bother me at all. If you start speaking in tongues, though, I'll punch you in the throat. There's not an interpreter here, and we don't have time for that. So, I'm just going to say, I don't play that game. So that being said, all the way through, now we can pray. We'll figure that out. So that being said, babies are awesome. But let's think about, what can babies do when they're born? I feel like it's a couple of things. They can cry. They can pee and poop. That's about it. Think about that. That's it. And as parents will tell you, you start to learn the sound of their cry means different things, right? Obviously, if the sound of their cry means different, there's obviously a smell of poop. Like, it's so funny. Like, if I invite kids, it's funny with parents that still have babies who aren't quite potty trained. Like, they'll just be like, yep, that's my kid. I got to go change it. Like, they know right away from the smell. Like, it's right there. Or they know from the cry that that's it. So think about this. This is what Paul is saying in there. Now, babies are awesome, but we don't want them to stay that way forever, do we? See, it's the same is true for you and I in Christ Jesus. See, Paul is saying right here, here's the thing about being a baby in Christ. Can a baby serve you? They are totally dependent upon their parents to be cleaned, to be fed, to be protected. And what's happening in the Corinthian church is they love being served instead of stepping into serving in the kingdom. And the reason they're fighting about who to follow is because they got too much time on their hands instead of serving in the kingdom. And I know that that's shocking because that doesn't happen today in the world, but that is what Paul is saying. He's saying, hey, Corinthian church, step up. It is time for you to crawl, walk, run. It is time for you to step in tune with the Lord and what he has called you to do. And so he is frustrated with them. Now, this isn't going to be a beat-up message, so hang in here with me because I do believe the Holy Spirit's going to move and convict us all of something because I believe that each and every week. I get convicted every week, and I believe all of us will. But if you're stopping here at 1 and 2, what I want you to pull from this that Paul is trying to say for each and every one of us is maybe you believe in Christ, but your behavior isn't quite living it out. Now, he's not here today, so I can know that I won't embarrass him. And if he's watching online or he watched later, then he'll think I'm about to. But I was thinking of my nephew when I was getting ready for this, my nephew Aiden, who's been going long hours at indoor band competitions right now, doing all kind of crazy stuff. And one of my favorite memories, I'm going to try to hold it together, but it's not going to be the one he probably thinks. It's not going to be one anybody thinks. I know it's going to sound nuts, but when I go home, when you go home, when my sister and my niece go home, they're going to know what I'm talking about. I can't remember if it was a birthday or Christmas, but I remember he got a bow and arrow for Christmas. I'm not talking about the nice one Gran and Grumps got or the nice one y'all bought or the big arrows, not the Londonderry arrows that would take like your head out if you had to watch out. It would literally, goo, you just had to pull that out. It was the first bow and arrow. And he was trying with all of his might. He was just a little fella at the time, so he's young. It was one of the Roebuck houses. I don't know which one, but he was young. He was trying with all his might to figure out this bow, and he just couldn't get it. Like, he just could not get it. And, of course, they say, bring it to Uncle T. Like I know. Like, I mean, what about me says I know anything about outdoors? So he brings it to me, and I want to tell you how smart that little fellow was. I think I did it once or twice, and then all of a sudden he got it, and it was off to the races, man. He was bow and arrow, and it was good times, and he enjoyed it. But this is why I said it's one of my favorite memories, and it's probably one that I will always hang on to, as I will never forget his face when he did it. The joy, and then this phrase, I did it, and that was it. Church, this is what Paul is trying to say. This is my heart for you, church. I want to hear that from you. I want to see that look when you take that next step of faith. Like, I want to hear that. I did it. Like, I did it. It was me. Like, that's the joy of following Christ, is you take that next step. I did it. And Paul is saying, that's the issue, church, is you're not willing to do that. You're willing to say you have to do it, or you make somebody else do it for you. And like for me, that is the most joy that I have for you, because my heart breaks because Paul's about to say this. There are going to be Christians that get to heaven that are going to be saved, or they're going to miss out on the fullness of it. And he's saying what we have to do is know that we give of our time, talent, treasure. We celebrate that each and every week, but we do it by living out love God, love others. We take next steps in Christ. So we're in the world where the Corinthians stuck in their maturity. And this is where Paul brings up the leadership aspect again. And it's found here in verse 6 through 9. And it says this, I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but look at this, church, but God has been making it grow. So many times we can get caught up, and it is such a blessing, like, to talk about growth. But the issue is, you and I don't have, we can work as hard as we want to, give as much as we want to, and we'll have zero impact on growth. Growth, now I'm not talking about numbers in the seats. I'm talking about in the kingdom of heaven. Because God brings the growth. We just get to be partners in it. Now sometimes we're going to unpack this. What the Corinthians were upset were is, where is my name on the brick? Where is my name on the outside of the sanctuary? Where is my name on the family life center floor? And he's saying, you're missing the point. He goes on to say this, so neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. The one who plants and the one who waters have one purpose, and they will each be rewarded according to their own labor. For we are co-workers in God's service. You are God's field, God's building. See, in the grand scheme of things, God doesn't have to use us to grow his church, to grow his kingdom, yet he still does. We still have purpose in it. There's still a reason you are here. If you are living and breathing right now, there is a purpose for you to be here. Otherwise, guess what? You'd already be in heaven. There'd be no reason for you to be here. The question is, what in the world do you do with it? How many of us have ever been to like a 5-star restaurant? Right? Like the Beacon or Wade's? Yeah. 5 stars, stepping up. Apparently Alibaba, where the young adults are going. I don't know. You know, one of those 5-star places here around here. You know, we can't say Chick-fil-A on Sunday, so Zaxby's. Yeah, it's a 5-star. So, think about, though, why do people go to the 5-star restaurant? Is it because of the hostess? The waiter? Or the chef in the kitchen? See, here's the thing, church. God's the chef in the kitchen. He's the master chef. What he is bringing, he brings people in. You and I get to be the waiters and waitresses and the hostesses. And now we got a choice with that. We can be mad about it, or we can be excited that we get to be a part of it. We get to hear the compliments being brought to the chef. The sometimes the bad things being brought to the chef. But we get to be a part of it. And that's what the Corinthians were missing, is they are, and God's restaurant is his church, where his presence is. And they were missing out on that. They were trying to say, well, Apollos has more people show up when he preaches, so he should do that. Or Paul, I don't like what Paul's saying. He doesn't make sense to me. Like he's saying, well, okay, like you're missing the point. The point is Christ. And he's saying we have this one purpose as co-laborers, and that is the church. Matt shared it in the welcome. Matthew shared it earlier in the welcome, and we say it every week. We are about the local church around the world. We love being a part of the vine, but it is about the local church around the world. We are all part of God's restaurant. We are all part of what he is building. And that's why you hear us all the time say that. Because here's the thing. Our church isn't just gathering here today. You know when you're going to be God's church? When you go to lunch. You're going to be God's church tomorrow morning on a Monday when you got just another manic Monday. No. When you're frustrated because it's just another Monday. Oh. We all get there. This is when we get to be God's field in his building. This is when God is sending his invitation out to those who want to come and partake in his bread and his life and his living water. That's what we get to be, church. And the beauty is it don't stop with us. When God's called us to something, it outlives us. If it dies with us, I'm going to tell you, if you have a vision from the Lord that dies with you, it's not from God, I hate to tell you. He's going to call you to something that is far greater than what you can accomplish in this little bitty 80 years that is but a breath. Right now, maybe you're following Christ and you say, but what if I don't like being a servant? And I would say this. Maybe you're struggling with following Jesus because of that. We're all mastered by something and slaves to something. We're either slaves to sin or slaves to Christ. There's only one that brings life when it consumes you and is mastered and masters you. Everything else brings death. We get so caught up in trying to go back in the chains of slavery of sin that we forget the freedom that we have being yoked to Christ. But I don't like being yoked to him. I don't like being labored to him. As Matthew 11, 28 to 30 says, I don't like any of that. Well, then you're not going to see heaven's full reward if you're a follower of Christ. You're going to miss out. And I don't know about you, but Jesus left an empty tomb, and I don't think he did it so that we could miss out. But I thought it was about grace, not works. And yes, you're right. We are saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. You are absolutely right. But let me ask you this, as we keep being reminded, Paul is saying here, does being saved by Christ make us less obedient to him or more obedient to him? We call that sanctification, church. That only happens through the Holy Spirit, right? We are being made more holy, being made more in his image. And the reason we know this, I want you to go back, if you think I'm crazy, which you're not wrong. I am crazy. But go back and look at this week, the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5 through 7. I want you to read the Ten Commandments in Exodus, and then go read Matthew 5 through 7. And tell me, does Jesus call us to deeper obedience or easier obedience? He said, you have heard, yes, deeper. You have heard it said, don't kill. That it is wrong to kill someone, he said, but if you have hate in your heart, you've already murdered them. Whoa, at that red light, I just killed those five cars that cut me off. You have heard it said to hate your enemy and love your neighbor, but I say love your enemy and pray for those who persecute you. That's deeper obedience. Deeper obedience. That's a tough thing. And the Corinthians are struggling with this. And so for each and every one of you, what it reminds us of when we think about this is we can't compartmentalize our faith to a day of the week or a time of the day. It must completely consume us. In other words, when we surrender lordship of our life to Christ, it is wholly Christ or wholly nothing. There is no in between. And so for each and every one of us with that, maybe we're struggling, and maybe it's not about grace, not works. You would say, well, hey, I just thought I needed to know Jesus to get to heaven. I thought I needed to surrender my life to him, and that's it. I just had to answer the question of who Jesus is, and you are absolutely right. If you trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior, there is nothing that can snatch you from his hand. But do you think that's the only question God's going to ask you at the judgment seat? He's not just going to, see, we, to get to the judgment seat, past the great white throne judgment, we know who Jesus is as our Lord and Savior. The question that we're going to be asked is now, what did you do with it? What did you do with Christ? What did you do with him? See, that's it. You could hear a pin drop. That's what you could do with Christ. But really, what did you do with him? How did you live your life? Did you know Christ and then say, I've got fire insurance and hell insurance. I'm good. I'm not going to do anything else. Or did you do something with it? See, Paul says this in verse 10 through 15 for each and every one of us. Man, I know this is a spirit thing. This is one of those quiet days. This is one of those, as they would say, is a seat emptier. But I want you to hang on to this because it shouldn't be. It should be freedom for us today. It says this in verse 10. by the grace God has given me. I laid a foundation as a wise builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should build with care, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. In other words, we build everything as a Christian upon the foundation, the rock, that is Christ. That is what we are built on. He goes on to say this in verse 12 to 15. If anyone builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, the work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each person's work. If what has been built survives, the builder will receive a reward. If it is burned up, the builder will suffer loss, but yet will be saved, even though as one only escaping through the flames. That's almost what I called today, was escaping through the flames. But I'm like, how does that thriving in Christ? Because we don't want to just escape through the flames. Let's talk about the quality of our work. See, this day, this is it, the last day, the judgment. This is it. Before we go into heaven, we will give an account for our lives, all of it. The good, bad, the ugly. We're saved. But then we're going to give an account of what we did with Jesus. Did we live like we were supposed to in Christ? And I'm going to tell you, none of us will be perfect at it. Wherever you are on a scale of zero to Billy Graham, you're still going to come up short. And guess what? So is Billy Graham. I know I will come up short. Billy Graham's going to be so close to the throne in heaven, it's going to take me half of eternity just to get there to shake the man's hand. It's going to take a long time for me to get there. Because I'm going to be in the Kudzu Mansion because I make fun of Peter cutting off the ear in the garden. It is what it is. All of the time. So Peter and I, he don't know it. We're going to be good friends in heaven. I already know. But for each and every one of us, we have to be reminded we're building our lives with a foundation of Christ on one of two things. Something that will escape the fire, which is gold, silver, and costly stones, or wood, hay, and straw. In other words, what Paul is saying is you can still be a Christian and waste your whole life. I don't know about you, but that scares the living crap out of me. I don't want to stand before an almighty God when he says, what did you do with my son? And start stuttering. It was their fault. You think that's going to work? When he said, did you clean your room? Well, door shut, I'm good, right? Don't look in. There'll be nowhere to hide. See, the day, that day of judgment will show if your belief matched your behavior, how you live. As a matter of fact, the quality of your work will determine the quantity of your reward in heaven. The quality, in other words, the gold, silver, and costly stones you built in your life will be what carries over to heaven, versus the wood, hay, or straw that will be burned in the fire. As I was reading this, I was thinking of Chronicles of Narnia, what is it, the last battle where some of the good things in earth are in heaven, and they're like, how in the world did that get here? And Aslan's like, hey, some of the good things made it here. Those are the things of gold, silver, and costly stones that made it through the fire. What does that do? It purifies you. It makes you be able to see your reflection in it more clearly, how we are made in Christ. And so really quick, I think of three buckets of Christians here with our time together, and I'm not telling you you fall in any one of these three, but Paul is not questioning your salvation, and this is not a day to question your salvation. This is a day, though, maybe you're saying, instead of this, I was going to say this to the end, so I'll say it now, because sometimes this feels like a beat up, and it's not. I'm not here judging you. If you're convicted, that's the Holy Spirit, and there's some grace in there, and this is it. This isn't a day to say, I've wasted my life. I'm nothing. This is the day to say, God has given me this day. What will I do with the rest of my life? This is, as we shared a couple of weeks ago, this is a day where you can declare, hey, I'm not going to quit so I don't have to start over. This is a day I'm going to continue to follow deeper in faith Christ and do what he's called me to do. I may have messed up there. That may have been wood, and that may have been hay, and that may have been straw for 20 years. But from here on out, God, however long you give me, I'm going to build with gold, silver, and costly stones. So here are the three buckets of Christians really quickly. The first Christian is the one I would like to say is a deathbed confession. They're getting to heaven. Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm not here to question that. They're getting to heaven. They know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, but when they get to heaven, they will not have reward. What do you mean by that? Well, what do you mean by reward? Well, I mean they're going to miss out on the fullness of the rewards because their whole life wasn't built on the rock. Their life was built on the rock with their last breath here, and they went from glory to glory. They went like they boomed out right into heaven, yes, but when they get there, they're not going to have any rewards. They're not going to have any flyer miles, frequent wing miles, or whatever it is. They're not going to have crowns in heaven because they didn't build their life on anyone. And this Christian may be someone who has known Jesus for 30 or 40 years, but they don't pray for others. They don't serve. They rarely show up to church or have any involvement in community. And that breaks my heart. And I would tell you, if you've ever been to those deathbed confessions, their heart is broke. Because they realize they did waste their life until that moment. But now their eternity is going to be full because they're in the presence of an almighty God. There is no lack. Don't get me wrong. That is our delight. That is what we seek. But that's the first bucket of Christian. The second one is the one that's going to build with hay, wood, or straw. And this Christian may go to church all the time. They may serve. They may get involved. They may give. They may show up and serve throughout the week. They may pray for others, but this Christian knows God has called them to something bigger. God has called them to take a next step. I don't know what that next step is. Maybe that next step is to pray for a person in a supermarket. Maybe that next step is to write a blog or write a devotional or start a video devotional, whatever that is. Or maybe it's to start a different job. And I don't know what God has called you to, but you spend your entire life fighting it. You keep telling God why that's not good enough. That's building with hay, wood, or straw. It's not going to have reward in heaven. You may have a little reward. It's a good life. You're a good Christian. You may have some reward. But the majority of your life is built with hay, wood, or straw. And it's going to be burned in the fire. Because you're not living out what God created you to be. And then this third bucket, this is the person who gives 100% of their time, their talent, and treasure to Christ. They try their best to live out, love God, love others. They aren't perfect by any means. They mess up. They confess. They repent. They serve. They pray. They do what God has called them to do to be a part of building his kingdom. And that's building with gold and silver and costly stones. And live out, love God, love others. Really quickly, what does this mean? Are there going to be different degrees of rewards in heaven? Yes. I don't like that. That's not fair. We don't serve a fair God. We serve a just God. Big difference. If we served a fair God, you and I would not have any hope. So yes, there will be those who have different rewards. Are those going to be judged more strictly? I will tell you, yes, I will. Read in the book of James, as a pastor, I am judged more strictly for how I pointed you to Christ. So what does this mean for you and I? What does this reward look like before we dive into what Jesus says about the true issue, about maybe why we don't understand whether we're building with hay, wood, or straw versus gold, silver, and costly stones? The full reward in heaven. You're going to be in heaven one day. And I shared this Thursday, so I want to kind of rehash it. But you're going to be in heaven one day. Somebody's going to find you. And they're going to say, hey, I remember when you shared the gospel with me. I didn't give my life to Jesus for 10 years or 10 months or for 10 days later. But because of you, I had the seed planted and I found Christ. And they're going to shake your hand. They're going to say, hey, I don't know what happened. I just talked to Jesus, and there was a moment in my life that I was at my lowest point, and I said, God, would somebody just pray for me? And I found out that was you. That was you who prayed for me. That's the reward. There's going to be that person that gets to heaven, and they're going to say, hey, there was this moment in my life that I was down to my last dime. I didn't know what would happen, and all of a sudden, somebody said, this person, they didn't want to be known, gave me this. And I just found out from Jesus, it was you. That's building with gold, silver, and costly stones. That is the reward in heaven for each and every one of us. That's what it's all about. Now, here's the difference. You may not ever find that out from those people this side of eternity. And our issue with the Corinthians, as the Corinthians' issue was, is we want to know if we're making a difference now. I want to know right now the impact. It's kind of like losing weight. I want to see it now, but the benefits are longer term, right? Like if you go and diet and exercise, it's a longer term thing. It's not something that always happens immediately. And so Jesus really gets to the heart of the issue, if you will. And Matthew 6, verse 21, really quick, and this is the last verse we'll have today, because he's going to tell us why in the world, why we can see or how we can see the difference between whether we're building with hay, wood, or straw, or gold, silver, and costly stones. And it says this, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." They're going to be pastors of megachurches. They're going to be in heaven that have built their life with hay, wood, and straw. Because their heart was about them. They're going to be pastors of small churches that are going to be in heaven. And they're going to build their life with hay and wood and straw. And their heart was because it was all about them, not about Jesus, about my following, about who is retweeting. We don't even have tweets. Re-Xing, is that what they call it now? I don't know. Whatever they call the thing. About me followed on social media, about how many people read this and did. Those are important things. But if that's the heart of the issue, church, that is building with hay, that is building with wood, that is building with straw. Does it mean it's not important that those things are tracked and make? Absolutely, it's very important to track those. Because each and every one of those matter. That's a person, that's something we celebrate, and that's something that we're about. But I want to tell you, there are going to be prostitutes who gave their life to Christ, and they're going to go to heaven and have gold, silver, and costly stones. Because you know what they did? They leave like that woman at the well, and they go tell a whole city, "He told me everything I did. He is the Messiah." And you know what society's going to do? Lift that pastor up and push that prostitute down. Church, that's the upside down kingdom of Christ. We can't be worried about our reputation. We can't be worried about what the world says about us. We can't be worried about what our boss says about us. We have to have the quality of our work to be kingdom building. And I love that that's what we do here at The Vine. But at the same time, I know we all have areas that we can improve upon that. There's nothing wrong with that. There's absolutely nothing wrong with that. Do you know how I know we struggle with this? Because here's a question you still ask if you're a Christian. There's going to be a smirk maybe that happens, there maybe not. If you're dating someone when you're a teenager, it's usually this, if you know the Lord. Can I do this with my girlfriend or boyfriend and still get to heaven? Can I cheat on my taxes and still go to heaven? Can I ignore that person and their needs, Lord, and still go to heaven? Can I stretch the truth on this one thing and still go to heaven? Can I just neglect this one area of my life and still go to heaven? Whether you want to admit it or not, we all ask that. We all ask it. And the truth is, yeah, we can still go to heaven, but we're asking the wrong question. It's not about whether we go into heaven or not, because here's the thing. When we ask that question, we're really asking, can I delight in the Lord more than the thing I'm chasing? And here's the convicting thing. If you and I can't delight in Christ now, how in the world will we do it in eternity? Because we ain't going to be able to avoid him in heaven. We can't say, you know what, Jesus? I'll catch you tomorrow. Because there ain't no tomorrow. It's all day, every day. There ain't no night. It is daylight all the time. And that's the question. That's the heart of the issue. The heart of the issue is, are we doing this to delight in the Lord, be made more in his image? Are we building with gold, silver, and costly stones? Are we building with hay, wood, and straw? I never want any of us to build with hay, wood, and straw. I want to be able to get to heaven when we get there and hear, "I did it." And you know what you did? You ran the race. As Paul writes later, you didn't treat salvation as a starting block. You didn't get two steps out of the block and then get mad. "Well, they're running faster than I am. This sucks. I'm not going anywhere. Look how fast that person's going. Look how much they got. They're faster than me. I don't know. Hey, they got a Segway. Look, dude, they've got a four-wheeler on the race? Like, how? I'm trying to run with my legs here. What in the world?" Instead, you just keep running the race. Step by step. Step by step. Step by step. The church today, are we doing that with our heart? If you're not, Today is your day to declare, I'm not going to do that anymore. Today's going to be the day you declare, not only am I not going to do that anymore, I'm just going to trust Jesus. I'm not worried about where I maybe screwed up yesterday, because you know what? His mercies are new every morning. There's no reason for you to worry about that. Confess and repent. Trust him today and do what he's called you to do. And that's how you'll build with gold, silver, and costly stone. Because the truth of the matter is, God loves you. God wants to bless you. Thing is, his blessing sometimes will be seen on this side of eternity. But the guarantee is it'll be seen in eternity. And that's what we trust. And so today, I pray that those of us who are in Christ Jesus would seek the Holy Spirit and ask where we need to be building with gold, silver, and costly stones, and ask the Lord to help us not continue to build with wood, hay, or straw. For others of us, the greatest, most ultimate blessing that God has given us is a relationship with him, built upon the bedrock, the foundation of his one and only Son, Jesus Christ, doing for us what we couldn't do for ourselves. See, the truth of the matter is, Paul is talking to Christians here when he talks about building on hay, wood, or straw, or gold, silver, and costly stones. The truth of the matter is, without Christ Jesus, we aren't building on anything. It is nothing but sand. We have no foundation. The fire isn't going to matter, because it's going to go straight down in the sand, whatever you're building on. And what will happen is, in our life, the reason we do that is sin in our life. Sin. Sin is anything that is against the will of God. It is literally rejecting God, rejecting his goodness, rejecting his mercy, rejecting his grace. And what is that? That is anything that is not perfect, that is against the perfect will of God. That is sin. That is seeking myself over God. And the thing is, we are hopeless in that, because we'll keep trying to build a foundation on rock, build a foundation on rock, and we can't figure out why it keeps collapsing and our life keeps crashing in. And the truth of the matter is, because you have no foundation, because you have not trusted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Jesus, the one and only Son of God, who did for us what we can't do for ourselves. He lived the perfect sinless life we couldn't live, died the death we deserve, paying the penalty on the cross for us. He is our eternal atoning sacrifice, and loved us enough not to stay dead. He rose again on the third day, so that we can have life. We can thrive in him now. We can build with gold, silver, and costly stones now. But the beauty of it is that gives us the relationship with God that we are ultimately seeking. The treasure that can only satisfy. And so for Christians today, I've asked your question. Maybe there are those of us today who aren't Christian. What's the treasure of your heart? What are you building your life on? That job? It's going to be gone tomorrow. Are you building on low interest rates? That ain't happening anytime soon. Are you building on a government that can save you, because it will absolutely let it down? Are you putting your salvation on your spouse that will let you down in the parking lot? On your children that are going to let you down? On your college degree that isn't going to amount to anything? Your car that's going to break down? Your house that will go into disrepair? What are you building your life on? Things that will never make it through the fire are the only one who's leading you through the fire. That is Christ Jesus. And so today, maybe you're feeling that. The Holy Spirit is speaking to you, and today is your day. You're trying to say, how can I have faith in this Jesus? And Paul reminds us this way in Romans 10, verse 9 and 10. If you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart you believe and are justified. It is with your mouth you profess your faith and are saved. Trusting Jesus with your heart, confessing and repenting of your sins, and living your life following him step by step the rest of your life the best way you know how. That's exactly the prayer of faith we're about to pray as a Vine fam here together. So with every head bow and every eye closed, wherever you are right now, we're going to pray this prayer out loud for the benefit of those coming to faith for the first time. So would everyone please repeat the words of this prayer after me. Dear Jesus, I believe I'm a sinner separated from you. I believe you came, lived the perfect sinless life I couldn't live, died the death I deserved, paying the penalty for my sins on the cross, but loved me enough not to stay dead, but rose again on the third day so that I may have life. Take over my life, Lord. Teach me to follow you step by step the rest of my life, the best way I know how. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're in the house or you're watching online right now, I'm going to ask you to do something very bold on the count of three. For the first time you have trusted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand on the count of three. One, two, three. You're in the house. If you're watching online, you can raise your hand. You can do a raised hand emoji. Reach out to us. Shoot us a message and all the platforms inside the app, whatever you got to do. We want to help you as a church celebrate this decision. All of heaven is rejoicing right now at this decision that you have made. But as you've just learned today, I pray that you would apply this message now to the rest of your life. This is the starting block to the rest of your life, not the finish line. And we want to help you get out the gate strong, and that happens in getting you connected with a local church near you. And for the rest of us, we're about to have this moment of worship. I would just pray today, if the Holy Spirit is moving, that you would just trust that next step that He is calling you to take. Because in the end, we get to celebrate and worship the King of Kings. And so as we get to step into this worship, if you want to go ahead and stand up, we're going to worship together. I just pray as we worship that the Lord would just reveal to us the hay, wood, and straw in our life and remind us of the gold, silver, and costly stones and the heavenly reward we'll get to celebrate in heaven.
Oh,
Today is one of those things that maybe the Holy Spirit calls you to do something. Maybe it's to get in touch with your neighbor. Maybe it's to serve somewhere. Maybe it's to do something. I don't know what that is, but I'm going to pray really quickly for the boldness in that, and we're going to welcome you to come join us next week as we have a seat saved for you. So dear Jesus, just thank you that you are the King of Kings and that you did for us what we can't do for ourselves. And if you've already conquered death, you've already conquered the grave, there is nothing that you can call us to that we can't do in your name. So I pray today, whatever you have called us to do, Jesus, today would be the day that we declare, I'm going to do it, Jesus. Yes, here I am. Send me, whatever it is, Lord. We declare today we are not going to quit, so that way we don't have to start over, dear Lord. We're going to keep taking next steps in you, and we would be bold in that, Jesus. And I pray as a church we would wrap our arms around each other and encourage and support each other to do that, so that we can be a part of partnering with you to build your kingdom. Because Jesus, that's how we build, with gold, silver, and costly stones. We love you, Jesus. We thank you that we can come into your presence today. It is for your glory, and in your name we pray. Amen. Can't wait to see you next week as we continue our series, How to Thrive in Christ. And always remember, the best is still yet to come.